WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Monday morning and the final week of October. And we need to reiterate what you just heard Phil talking about there in the news. He mentioned the Rehoboth brush fire that broke out yesterday afternoon, which took more than 6,000 gallons of water to extinguish. But this has been an ongoing issue across the state and across the region. It's because of this dry weather and because we are experiencing drought conditions and no rain in the forecast, we've got to be extra careful. You know, this is the time of year when people are trying to go out and burn leaves in their yard and burn some of the brush that they've cleaned up from around their yard. But this is dangerous weather for that. Not only do we have that brush fire in Rehoboth, there's one in the Salem-Lynn area that's now grown to about 130 acres near Spring Pond in Salem. They're bringing water to it and dumping water on it by helicopter. The dry, windy conditions have led to it spreading. And they've done a good job of keeping it away from homes, but it got pretty close. That fire, they're still not exactly sure what might have ignited it. And then there was a brush fire in Millbury, Massachusetts on Saturday night that led to the death of a woman who was living in an encampment who died as a result of that fire. So very important that you're not burning anything outside in this kind of weather. Very important that you are extinguishing all of your cigarettes. In fact, yesterday, one of the Chinese buffet restaurants in Raynham had a fire out in front of the building because it was believed that it was a discarded cigarette. These dry conditions make it very dangerous to just throw a cigarette on the ground. And something happened where that ignited a fire that thankfully didn't spread into the restaurant, but and I believe the restaurant is expected to reopen today. But that's just carelessness. That's what that is. And I know I rant about this quite often, but I've never understood why smokers think that it's completely okay to just throw their cigarette butts on the ground. I actually got chastised by someone because I was in the parking lot here at the radio station, walking to my car, and I coughed. And you know, sometimes when you cough, some things come up, and I spit it into one of the little islands that have trees in them in the parking lot. So I didn't even spit it on the ground because I was like, well, somebody might walk and I want them to step in it. So I spit into the little island with the trees. And a woman said, oh, that's so gross. And I was like, well, I tried to do it away from where anybody would step in it. also there are people who just flick cigarette butts on the ground. There are people who leave half drunk coffee cups in the parking lot. I feel so bad for the person that cleans this parking lot, and he does a great job. But he has to go around and pick up people's half-drunk coffees. There's an entire Instagram account dedicated to half-drunk dunks, where people will leave a half-finished iced coffee or whatever, just wherever they want to leave it. And people do it all the time in the parking lot here, and it drives me crazy because why? First of all, what did you get that you took that out of your car and put that on the ground? Maybe you got a boba tea from next door. We used to have the Lighthouse Nutrition with the meal replacement shakes. Maybe it was that, but I don't know. It just seemed like people were using the parking lot as a dumping ground for their trash. And that's disgusting. But anyway, be careful. Fire safety. Especially with the weather conditions the way they are right now. 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning, Reverend.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm
doing all right.
You know, that first caller you got today, the one that was slamming Trump all over the place,
mm-hmm.
You weren't very nice to Trump this morning. Now, you know, if I had called in and said all those things about Kamala, you would have came at me like, where did you get that? That's probably not true. Did you look it up? Where did you get your facts? You didn't ask them a single question. You accepted it all.
Because,
how do you know even?
Because
even
all the stuff he's been saying is true.
But you didn't say nothing. You said, have a nice day now, and he was gone. So that's what made me call today.
But that's all stuff that's been covered for years about Trump.
That's not being fair. You didn't ask him where his source, where did he get all that information and stuff like that?
Because that information's been out there for years.
All of it?
Yeah.
Was it ever true? Did they find it? Why didn't he go to jail for all that blackmailing? Come on. And all the nasty things that Kamala has done.
Kamala. Her name is Kamala. And you know that her name is Kamala.
Oh, stop it. Look at the names they call me. It doesn't bother me. Why does it bother you so much?
Because you're being willfully ignorant.
Yeah, no. I'm being willfully ignorant. Okay, if I was going to call in and say things like that guy said, I would tell you where I got all that information.
Well, you know, if you want to call in and bash Kamala Harris all day long, there's plenty of shows on this station that you can do it.
I don't call in your show and bash her all day long. Do I do that?
No, but if you want to do it, there are shows where you can do it.
Well, you're accusing me of doing it. I'm not doing it.
No, you said I did it. And I'm saying you certainly can if you would like to.
Oh, you're just mean and rotten today, that's all. Did you have a rotten sandwich yesterday or something?
I did not.
Okay, so you're going to Belcher Town with me. You know, that used to be called Belcher's Town, and then they changed it. And I went to the museum there. I don't know if it was the year 19... I think my son was like 2 years old, so that would have been 1972. And there was a lot of things about the town, and they had the best butter there. Because I brought butter home, butter from Belcher Town. So you're going over there. You looking for ghosts?
I'm going to be speaking at the library, the Clapp Memorial Library. But I don't know if there's any butter at the library. But if there's any, I'll bring some back for you.
Oh, I don't think the library will have butter. But as soon as you said you were going there, I kind of went and looked it up. And they also, I didn't know this, they have the biggest man-made reservoir in the country. Imagine that. Go look at the reservoir while you're over there. Let me know how big is it and how does it look.
I will try and take a look. I know that I'll probably be up against it because I don't know what the traffic is going to be like trying to get there. But I'm going to leave here like around 3:30, 4 o'clock and hope that I can get there in time because it's a 2-hour drive, but I'm not speaking until 7. So I'm trying to get there at 6, but that'll leave some room in between in case I hit traffic like in the Worcester area or something.
Yeah, that is a long way.
And Springfield. I got to go through both.
Yeah. Are you going to have a different kind of sandwich over there? You're going to eat something over there?
I probably won't have the time because by the time that's over, I'm going to turn around and run right home so I can be back in time to get to bed.
Yeah. Well, have a good time.
Thank you. And so you're saying it's Belcherstown was originally. So the name has nothing to do with belching. I'm not expected to put on a belching performance when I get there.
Well, I don't remember all of it. I only know that it was changed. I think when I went there, it was already Belcherstown already. But it was originally Belcherstown. Yeah, look that up. Matter of fact, I should go back and look it up and read more about that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure they'll have some information too at the library if I need to find out anything.
Okay, try to be a nice guy today now.
I'm always a nice guy.
No, you weren't this morning because you didn't even ask one single question.
I'm going to be honest with you, Mary.
Mary,
I'm going to be honest with you. When he calls in, I just let him talk for 3 minutes and then I let him go.
Okay.
He's never on topic. He's not even listening to the show.
Now I got to go walk off all that angriness that you put into me this morning. You got to walk longer now to get rid of it.
We call that motivation.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you, Father. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Yes, that caller, when he calls in, he's not listening. He lives in California, and that means it's 3 o'clock in the morning his time, and he's not listening to the show. He just calls talk shows and has his pre-planned talking points, so I just let him say his thing and then move on. 508-996-0500, if you want to call in and chime in. You can also send those app chat messages. You can leave an open line voicemail. But yeah, Belchertown tomorrow, probably a little too far for some of you to come out and join me. But anywhere, well, they will let me go and talk about ghosts, talk about the Bridgewater Triangle, I will go. As long as, like, 2 hours is, like, my limit. 2 hours is as far as I want to be able to drive, just because I've got to wake up early in the morning. And when they ask, oh, what time do you want to do it at? I'm always like, well, it's always better for me to say later. Because it's the later you start, the more of a chance for people to get there. So if you do something at 6 p.m., most people are getting out of work at 5. They're getting home at 6. They're not going to turn right around and run right to the library. So, you know, you try to set a time up where people have a chance to maybe have dinner and then come and hear you speak. So 6:30, 7 o'clock. Plus, it gives me more time to get there. But then you're not thinking, well, 7 o'clock, the presentation takes an hour to an hour and a half. So I'm already getting out of there at 8:30. And then people are going to talk and, you know, and have questions and stuff afterwards. So 9 o'clock, and then I'm getting home at 11. So it's a tough decision sometimes. But I usually will almost always say yes. I don't think I've ever told anybody they were too far. I did have somebody that reached out one time that wanted me to speak in upstate New York. And I said, I don't think I can do that. Not unless you want to do it on a weekend. And even then, like, you'd have to come up with accommodations for me for the night because there's no way I can make that drive and then turn around and come back. But Belchertown, sure, I'll drive 2 hours. And then Pembroke on Wednesday will be a little bit closer. And Pembroke's always been a great town to me, so I want to make sure that I go there every time they ask. And by the way, the game has been upped because they put out a nice spread at the Freetown Community Police Room. The librarians put out a great spread over there with some donuts and other treats, and they always have some cider, and oh, man. So great turnout, great crowd, great questions afterwards, and a nice spooky Saturday night. Then we went over to the Oliver Estate. Well, I went over to the Oliver Estate in Middleboro because Stephanie and Scott were there, and there's some things going on there that, you know, that we might be limited in how many more investigations we can get in over there. So I wanted to make sure I got in there one more time. And some pretty interesting things were happening, but a lot of it happened before I got there, so I didn't get to experience it myself. But this is spooky week for sure. And we can certainly talk about some of the local ghost stories. So I've written about so many of them over the years. I'll probably share some of those on our social media throughout the course of the week. But there's a number of stories out there about some of the ghostly happenings on the South Coast. But right now, per my friend Matt Moniz, Spooky South Coast co-host and longtime ufologist, he says we're currently going through a UFO flap in the area. And he wants to know if you have seen anything in the sky. He said there were Chinese balloons over New Bedford the other day, those Chinese lanterns. But plenty of legitimate sightings have been coming in. And he wants to know if you have seen anything strange and anomalous in the skies in recent days. If you have, email me, tim@wbsm.com, and I will pass your info on to Moniz, and he'll document everything about your sighting. And this, you know, right now, UFOs are about to be another huge topic in the news, because not only is there's a new series on, what's it, MGM Plus, used to be Epix, that looks at these legitimate reports, the stuff that's been coming out of the Pentagon over the last couple of years. But there's a gentleman named Stephen Bassett. We had him on Spooky South Coast many times. He's been the person that's been pushing for UFO disclosure for a number of years. And whatever it may be. It doesn't have to necessarily be that it's extraterrestrials. He's just been pushing for answers. But he put up a very interesting post yesterday on social media that says, there's an expanding rumor confirmation of an off-Earth civilization is pending. Many news articles are turning up. If true, this would fit the predictions and likely have been known for some time. Timing is perfect, as such an announcement now would soften disclosure. So take that for what you will. But he's talking about an off-world civilization, not signs of life off of this planet. He's talking about a civilization somewhere else other than this planet. That would be the biggest story in the history of humankind. So we'll keep an eye out and see if Steve is right. Now, Steve is a great guy, and he's always come on to talk about things whenever we've asked him to, but also he's had a lot of predictions or teases before that don't come to fruition. So, but he's also had a lot that have. So let's see where that goes. 508-996-0500. Let me take a break here. We'll be right back. And welcome back in. So, we were mentioning the family of Brent Berkley, the man who was killed in Plymouth on Friday, and how the Speedwell Tavern is donating all of its proceeds this coming Friday to his family. Well, today, if you want to show support for them, Squinny's Pizza in Plymouth is donating all proceeds today for Brent Berkley's family. If you buy one pizza, you get one for $5, as long as it's of equal or lesser value. And all the proceeds today are going to benefit the family of Brent Berkley, the man who was killed in that apparent road rage incident in Plymouth on Friday. So again, Squinny's Pizza in Plymouth. Today, all the proceeds going to Brent Berkley's family. All right, it's time now to go into the newsroom and get all of the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
G Just over a week to go before the election, Americans on edge. The McDonald's E. coli outbreak up to 75 cases, and a book makes its way home after a century.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
A new poll shows support for the presidential candidates is virtually split by gender. A CBS News YouGov survey found Vice President Harris receives 55% of her support from women, while former President Trump earns 54% support from men. The results highlight the fact that the race for the White House remains extremely close, with 8 days to Election Day. Most polls reflecting similar results, with a difference well within their margin of error. Election season is affecting the mental health of Americans. More from Lisa Carton.
A national survey conducted by a private mental health treatment system examined the amount of anxiety brought on by election season in 2,000 Americans. More than one in five adults reported election content negatively impacted their mental health. The most affected groups include millennials and Gen Z, with Gen Zers reporting delaying significant occasions such as college, moving, getting married, or having kids because of political landscape anxiety. I'm Lisa Carton.
Health officials say the number of E. coli cases linked to McDonald's is up to 75. The CDC says the outbreak has affected people in 13 states and led to 22 hospitalizations. One person died in Colorado. McDonald's removed its Quarter Pounder hamburger from the menu at around a fifth of its locations in response to the outbreak, but says it'll resume sales in the coming week after testing rules out the beef patties as the source of the outbreak. An astronaut who was hospitalized after splashing down in the Gulf of Mexico is reportedly back on their feet. We get more from Scott Carr.
NASA officials say astronauts Matthew Dominic, Michael Barat, and Jeanette Epps, and Russian cosmonaut Alexander Grabenkin underwent post-flight medical checks after their SpaceX capsule splashed down off Florida's Gulf Coast Friday, and that one of the crew members was hospitalized, though they have not identified which one. Reports say the member of the team's now been cleared to join their crewmates for post-flight reconditioning in Houston. They've been in orbit at the International Space Station since March. I'm Scott Carr.
Playing in mud and dirt could help kids build their immune systems. Data on the connection between dirt play and the probability of getting allergies and autoimmune diseases found that mud and dirt expose children to microorganisms, which help with, quote, immune training. And a book is returned to a library in New Jersey more than 100 years after it was due back. David Folk Thomas reports.
ABC 7 reports a woman clearing out her bookshelf in Colorado came across a copy of Shakespeare's Life of King Henry V, which her grandmother had given to her back in 1955. A library card inside the book said it was due back to the public library in Paterson on February 1st, 1923. The person's name on the card who checked out the book was not recognized by the woman who found it. After it was returned, the library waived the 10 cents a day late fee, which totaled nearly $3,900. David Folk Thomas, NBC News Radio, New York.
WBSM Sports.
Patriots in their first Foxborough win of the season and in over a year, beating the Jets 25-22 on Sunday, off to Tennessee to play the Titans next weekend. Tonight, the Boston Celtics and the Milwaukee Bucks at TD Garden. Game starts at 7:30. And on Tuesday, Boston Bruins at the Garden with the Philadelphia Flyers.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Chilly today, not getting too much warmer. Highs only in the 50s for your Monday. Sunny, though, and we could get down to freezing overnight before more sun on Tuesday. Warmer as we get toward the middle and end of the week. Highs in the 70s. Halloween comfy in the 60s. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
And back in 508-996-0500. Let's go to the phones. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
How you doing?
All right. What's on your mind?
Well, I want to talk about these construction companies. You know, the project on Kings Highway and the one on Rock Avenue and West Rodney French, that intersection there, and that pedestrian bridge. I mean, this has been going on for over 2 years, and they're milking it. How do these construction companies get away with it?
I don't know. I mean, I know that the I know the pedestrian bridge is expected to at least be completed by May when the South Coast Rail is supposed to start, but probably before that. The other ones, I have no idea when they're expected to be finished.
Yeah, with all these delays and the sidewalks, takes them so long to put concrete and repave. It's ridiculous. I mean, isn't someone overseeing these state contracts, how they can get away with this for months and years?
I don't know how much, material delays are still happening, you know, not being able to get the materials that they need. I don't know if that's still happening in some of these jobs, but I know here on Schoonickneck Road, they've been putting in sidewalks for months now and are still in the process.
Yeah, there's plenty of concrete and there's plenty of blacktop. It's just, they get away with it. It seems to be getting worse. And where's the government oversight? That's my question. Where's the government oversight on these contractors? These projects should have been done a long time ago. It's not like you're building the Brooklyn Bridge, you know? They probably could do that faster years ago.
They probably, well, I think it took a little bit longer back in those days, but I think part of the hold up and the delay might also be that so many of these companies take on multiple projects all at the same time. So they've got to, you know, divert their resources from one to the other. And one day somebody might be working on this job and the next day they might be working on this because they don't have enough people to get the jobs done.
Right. And then you look at a timeline of a project and they come to the state because they know when they get a state job, a government job, that they're going to double the price of the cost of doing the job. And I don't know how they get away with that, too. But there should be some kind of oversight in saying, you know, if you don't do this with this within this period of time, then you're not getting the contract. These companies are greedy and they do, like you're saying, multiple projects. And then it just stretches it out for years when it should have been done a long time ago, because there's still areas that they haven't put the sidewalks. And, you know, and the one on Brock Avenue, that intersection at the lights next to 7-Eleven, they still got to give it another one or two layers of blacktop, and they're milking it. So obvious.
Well, and then there's the job they're doing at the 24-140 interchange over there in Taunton, where they're saying that could be 2 years before that's all completed. And that's a mess over there.
That's incredible. All right, Tim.
All right.
I just thought I'd bring that up. You know, it's something that I'm seeing. It just doesn't make a heck of a lot of sense.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for the call. Have a good day. All right. Yeah, that, like, over, see, so some of these jobs, I look at them and I say, okay, well, I get that it might take a little bit longer because it's a high traffic area and you've got to kind of work around the traffic. They don't want to shut down the road. But then I also look at a thing like the what I was talking about there in 24-140 ramp there in Taunton. That's just downright dangerous, that spot. So if you're coming off 140 and getting on 24, heading north, when you get in, so you're supposed to stay in the lane that you get when you get onto 24, you're supposed to stay in that lane. You have a good amount of time to be able to merge over. But I see every vehicle get in that lane and immediately try to just get into the left, you know, move to the left. And you can't really see who's coming. I mean, maybe people that are in SUVs and have a higher vantage point than I do in a sedan might have a little bit more of a view of who's coming up. But those cars are coming up quick. So getting on there and getting right into that left lane is sketchy, but at the same time, you also only have so much time before you're going to run out of lane there on the right-hand side. You should have enough, but if somebody isn't going to let you over, which happens quite frequently, I've seen people that have had to like slam on their brakes before they get to the end of it because they need to wait till they can merge over. And that job still has a long time to go. They're replacing that bridge there. I think the footbridge that they're putting over Route 18 here in New Bedford, I think that that's, you know, made great progress, but also it seems to me like it's stalled a little bit. Because every time I go through there, I say, oh, what else have they done? What else have they done? But, I, you know, we get the construction report and the South Coast Rail report and all of that kind of stuff sent to the news inbox. And it's now I think they're working on installing all the components of the elevator system. Because on the Whale's Tooth side, they have an elevator to take you up to the bridge. And then once they do, I know they've still got to finish the facade of the, I guess you would call it the bottom of the bridge. The part that people walk on. If you look at it now, you just see the steel. They have to finish the facade there. And I guess they're going to be installing LED lighting. And I'm hoping it ends up looking like the bridge that I saw in Worcester last week. That bridge was beautiful. It was all lit up in different colors. And it was pretty much the same style bridge. The elevator I don't know what you would call it, but the elevator housing was all lit up as well, and the colors were alternating, and it was very visually appealing. And hopefully they do something similar with this one. I know there will be lighting installed in it. I just don't know what the plan is for it. And then also, when the new New Bedford-Fairhaven Bridge gets built, that's going to have some LED lighting associated with it as well. Which I still think they should have the ability to make the side of it light up to look like a whale. Like, have your regular LED lights for safety's sake and all of that, but then also have it be able to light up to look like a whale. That would be pretty cool. 508-996-0500. We have some calls coming in. Now let's see, how much time do I have? Yeah, I got some time before break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
How you doing?
All the main intersections coming into the city that are part of the state as well off the highways, like 140 and Clarksdale Street area, they're beautiful. They've done such a great job on them. And on Route 18, they've done such a great job on them all. But our city streets are in horrible shape, and they still are, and I believe they always are going to be. And it would do so much damage to our cars. And we pay a lot of taxes in this city. We have a real high budget, and it just seems to be getting worse. That it doesn't really matter to the mayor when or if they ever get done. He's been in for 12 years. You'd like to start to see some sort of progress on it, but it doesn't seem like it goes anywhere. But what you do see is they rip up the streets and they put a pipe in or they put some wiring in, and then 6 months later, they rip it up again for another reason. The planning seems to be really poor. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
All right. Well, I'll tell you that the mayor will argue that they put more money into the roads from the city budget, in addition to the state money that they get, than any other, you know, administration has. And
which one?
This mayor.
No, which streets?
They have a whole list of what's been done. I think it's on the city's website, and they have what's planned to come up. But so I know that the bigger problem has been they haven't really gotten to the main thoroughfares yet. It's been a lot of the side streets.
They haven't got. I haven't seen any done permanently. I really haven't. You know, it's same story over and over. And maybe he has put more money into it, but doesn't mean he's put enough into it. I mean, people, we pay heavy taxes in the city, and it's just a shame. That's all. My, you know, a little frustration with him on it, and I've talked to him about it time and time again. It seems like on the radio, and it just seems like a lot of broken promises. I think a lot more effort should have been put into our city streets and all these other intersections and all the other highways around it. It reminds me of a trap. You know, once you get in, you can't get out. You know, the streets are so horrible.
I'm sure those intersections are being done by the state, though. when you're coming off the highway. So that's
I get it, and I understand that. I think a lot of them were okay. I don't think we had to do a lot of them over. I think the focus should have been put on in the city streets. The city streets are just, they're horrible everywhere you go. You know, I haven't found any good ones yet. And if they are, I don't know. Maybe a part of Rockdale Avenue might be, but I haven't seen too many others.
I mean, the road right outside the mayor's house is pretty good.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm just trying to tweak you a little bit there.
Oh, I'm glad to hear it. Well, anyways, keep up the good work, man.
Have a good day. Thank you. All right, let's take another call here before we got to go to a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great. The Route 24-140 interchange, you do realize that the original contractor on that project went bankrupt, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Okay, so now MassDOT had to go out to the bonding company. I mean, that was a very intense operation to begin with. So that led to a lot of the confusion and time push out there. And to the other caller, MassDOT does have a very stringent auditing system for all projects on hand. And a lot of times there's unforeseen problems once the project begins. And when that happens, then you get the extra work orders. The other thing that causes a lot of cost overruns is just that, is the unforeseen infrastructure once you get into the project. And most people don't understand that there's prevailing wages. So a regular job is almost twice the money because Massachusetts has prevailing wages. So if someone was getting paid, let's say, $40 to do a job, once you go with a state or federal job, it's now $90 an hour. So there's an increase there. So it's not as straightforward as most people think, trust me.
All right. Well, thank you for the information.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good day. Yeah, I mean, that's a great point, too, is that, you know, we're talking about jobs where, you know, people are going to be digging up roads that who knows how long they've been there, and you don't know what you're going to find when you do it. And I think that's part of the problem with, you know, so much of the infrastructure of the city, the water infrastructure, the electrical infrastructure, all the stuff that's underground is aging. And so, yeah, they might tear something up and replace something, and then they have to tear it up again because something else needs to be replaced. And you can't shut down the city to just say, okay, we're going to spend the next, you know, 5 years replacing all of this, because the place would come to a standstill and it would cost a fortune. So instead, it's got to be done piecemeal, and that's going to lead to some of these, you know, some of these repeat issues. Got to take a break here. We'll be right back. Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. In these last few remaining days of October, it is more important than ever to remember that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. WBSM teaming up with PrimaCare in an effort to prevent, identify, and cure a disease that strikes 1 in 8 women in the United States, but can also affect men as well. A simple mammogram can be your best weapon in the fight against breast cancer, allowing for early detection and the best chance for successful treatment. Breast self-examination should begin at age 20, with yearly breast exams from 20 to 39, and then yearly mammography screenings from age 40 on. Awareness, detection, treatment, cure, that's the key to beating this disease. Breast Cancer Awareness Month on WBSM is brought to you by PrimaCare, by your side. And we want to make sure that you're all as healthy as can be, and that's why we want to make sure that we continue on in bringing you not just breast cancer awareness, but awareness to all the different things that can affect you, and making sure that you are as healthy as possible. As someone who's gone through my own health issues over the last year and year or so, I totally get it. And cancer is a scary word, but when you do things the right way and when you can get things taken care of early, it makes all the difference in the world. All right, I've got to take one final break for this hour. We'll be right back.
You better die when I show up.
And welcome back in. We are going to be going into the news in just a moment. When we come back on the other side, we'll have this week's edition of our South Coast Health Community Spotlight, where we will be learning all about a great organization here locally doing great work. And then also, we can take more of your calls. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Don't forget, too, we have a new contest up at WBSM.com and on the app where we are giving away tickets to see Kane Brown in Providence. Country superstar Kane Brown is coming to the amp, and we've got your chance to win tickets, so you can enter now at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app. Thanks to our friends at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, the home of the Purple Dot, where you can try before you buy and where they have their